Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Now is the time to trim your lamps and get ready for the coming of the Lord.
Friends, the Lord is coming soon. Are you ready? Join us now for the Midnight Cry broadcast.
Kathy used the expression the other night in prayer meeting, shameless persistence. Remember where that came from? That was Jesus teaching us about prayer. And he talked about a situation where a man's friend comes to him late at night. He has nothing to feed him. And so he goes to a friend at midnight, knocks on the door and tells him the situation. The guy says, go away, it's midnight, I'm in bed. Well, what's the appropriate response from Jesus' point of view? He just keeps on knocking until the guy says, well, I'm not going to get rid of him. I guess I better do what he says. And so he does. He hears him, not because he's his friend, but because of his shameless persistence. I wonder how many of us, we let the devil talk us out of that. Oh, that's being presumptuous. There's a genuine need that God has revealed, and we have his word clearly to go by. What God honors is someone who will come with shameless persistence, refuse to give up, have the same kind of a spirit that Jacob had when the Lord arranged for him to be in a situation where it looked like the promises of God were not going to happen. He was about to get wiped out by a brother that had threatened to kill him years before. And he wrestles all night with an angel. And the angel says, let me go. It's daylight. What did he say? I will not let you go until you bless me. This is God trying to encourage you and you and me never to give up, but to believe that regardless of how it looks and how it feels and how long it takes, we have every right to take this. That's what Paul was conveying to Timothy. Lay hold. But laying hold means a whole lot of fighting. We're fighting against our own nature. We're fighting against the wisdom, if you want to call it that, of the devil. We're fighting against all kinds of things. They were fighting against real giants when they conquered the land. I'll tell you, the devil can, and don't be surprised when you kind of take hold of this and say, yeah, praise God. Guess what the devil's going to do? He's going to fight. He's scared to death of Jesus. Like I said, you don't bother him, neither do I. Boy, he's scared of Jesus. I want more of him. I want it to be him and not me. Praise God. So I forgot where I was going with that. But anyway, praise God. Do you think the Lord is telling us these things to discourage us or to tell us how it really is? Because his purposes in changing us and making us like his son involve us having to take some effort to believe. Faith is not just a feeling and a belief in some doctrine. Faith is actively believing what God says in the face of whatever the devil throws up in the way of a hindrance. It's saying, I will not let you go. I just encourage us. Let's not be silly and presumptuous and jump in the other ditch. You can be in one ditch where you just accept things. You can be in the other ditch where you're trying to change the world and think you're something you're not. But I want to be in tune with him so that I can have a genuine peace-driven sense of what he wants to do in my life, and I've got a solid foundation to stand upon. And I have every right to go to him with that kind of a spirit, not a what's the matter with you, get with it kind of thing. But I'm just saying, Lord, I'm not going to give up on this. I'm standing fast. I'm going to trust you. I don't know how many testimonies I have heard over my lifetime of people who went through times where they were just standing and it looked like nothing was happening, but they refused to give up. Do we not need some shameless persistence? Do we not need to be able to say, I will not let you go until you bless me? You said it. I don't care what the devil says. I'm going to stand and I'm believing you, not just for me, but for other people. And for him to show us what his plan is, to reach out beyond these walls. God has a plan and a purpose. But do you think he might need to work in us a bit in the process? A whole bunch. Because, again, it wasn't Paul just telling Timothy to, you know, you've got all these responsibilities, you better ask God about it. That's certainly true. But he prefaced his remarks about seeking God and laying hold with, you better lay hold of righteousness. You better seek righteousness and all these other qualities that need to be in your life. You're going to have to get them from somewhere. There's a source of life. There's a flow. There's a river that's flowing from heaven. Jesus is the source of that river. He earned the right to sit on a throne and become the very reservoir of God's Spirit to share with us all that he did. I don't know where you're at today, whether it's a matter of growing, whether it's a matter of facing some need that you know. I mean, we can't do it all at once. We just take it a day at a time, and we look to God for the needs that are right in front of us. We don't get anxious about them, but we do get serious about them. We take action. We're not like the guy who stands next to that proverbial bridge that I've talked about, where you're in a place where you're in danger, but there's one bridge over a gorge to get you out of there. I don't want to be one who just stands there and say, there's the bridge, folks, there's the bridge. What's wrong with that? I'm not on the bridge. I can talk about it. I say I believe in it, but I'm not believing in it until I stand on it and cross it. And God wants us to have that same kind of a heart towards him, where we're going to look to him to fulfill the things that he says in this word, to see them here in our own lives and in our midst in greater ways. Is that not what he wants? So what's the hindrance? What's holding this up? Do you think maybe we need to seek God in deeper ways and cry out to him, but not with just, oh, I'm supposed to do this. I just don't think anything's going to really happen, but I'm supposed to do it. So we need to have a faith that's willing to step out and believe what God says. And I started to say, I don't know what your need is today. There may be somebody here or somebody who hears this. People hear this in all kinds of places. And you've never really entered in. You don't know. You don't know what this is about. God knows your name. He knew your name when his son was on that cross. You were included in what Jesus did. What's he looking for from you? It's real complicated. It's to come to a place where you're willing to recognize that need. But then what do you do about it? You go to him and say, Jesus, I hand you my life. I am putting my faith in you. From henceforth, I am yours. It's faith in Christ. If you believe in him and if you'll confess with your mouth, there's an identification with Jesus Christ. You will be saved. And you can start this journey. It doesn't have to be some complicated thing. I don't care what your past is, what's happened in your life, how many sins you've committed. If God is talking to your heart right now, you have every reason and every right to call upon him from your heart. And if he sees you calling from your heart, do you think he's going to turn you away? You think he's going to send his son to the cross and say, no, sorry. Oh, all he wants is a willing heart, and he will come and fill your life, and you'll know him. This won't be just religion to you. You'll know that there's a Savior who cares about you. You won't always have feelings. You won't always have things you can observe, but I'll tell you, you're going to know in here that it's real, and he will bear witness to your heart. But if you know him today, are you stuck? I think we had a message on that years ago. I mean, these are not new truths, are they? We've heard every one of them 1,000 times, as it were. But I find myself in need. Do you? I see areas of my life where I look back and, well, this is still going on. That's still going on. This is still the situation. What's going on? Why is it still the situation? Is that what God wants for me? Did he not provide for that? Or is there something I'm supposed to do? Am I supposed to take this stuff I say I believe and actually put it into action? Give me a break. No, we don't need that kind of a break, do we? We have every right to go to him. Somebody mentioned somewhere this morning, I forget where it was, the example of the man who was wanted healing, the blind man. Yeah. Praise God, what a simple story with a profound message. He was there, he was blind, and he heard Jesus was going by. Well, he kept hollering, "Jesus, Jesus, have mercy on me." And everybody else wanted to shut him up. But Jesus heard him and said, "Bring him. What do you want me to do for you?" See, the man still had to express it. If you need to be, you need a Savior, you need to tell him, "Lord, I need to be saved. I need you, Lord. You're the only one that I could possibly call upon. I'm yours, Lord. And I'm trusting you to do what you promised." In his case, it was to be, that I might see. And Jesus said, "Your faith has healed you." God has given us a tremendous source of power if we realize it. Without faith, it's impossible to please him, isn't it? He that comes to God must believe that he is, and what? That he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. That sounds like something I need to do, isn't it? He give me the faith. He'll give me what it takes to do it, but I've got to take that and put it into action with real issues in my life around me, with the circumstances, whatever it is that he gives me a peaceful witness about. I need to take hold of his promises and believe him and expect him to do something. I'm all for reaching for the impossible, but God wants us to take hold of something that is definitely impossible in ourselves. To believe that you and you and you and you can take hold of what he has promised in this book, and it becomes yours. And you become part of something that's eternal, because everything here is going to pass away. But what he is doing is forever. Oh, what a day that will be. We sang it so many times this morning in so many different ways. What a day that will be when we stand there before the one who went to the cross for us. And we realize what he accomplished, what he gave us, and what it took. Oh, God. May God make that more real to me and to you right here, right now, so that we don't just sit there and live like spiritual paupers when we have the riches of heaven at our disposal through the promises of God. I want to be like Timothy, mighty servant of God, sent to help the church there, minister beyond just a local church, and yet he needed to take hold, to lay hold of eternal life. Anybody here need that? I do. To God be the glory. Is he faithful? Yes, he's faithful.
The message you have heard is part of a regular church service recorded as it was being ministered. CD and DVD copies of this service in its entirety are available. To assist with postage and processing costs, an offering of $5 is suggested for CDs and $10 for DVDs. Please identify the station over which you have heard this broadcast and provide the broadcast date when ordering. You may also receive our quarterly publication, The Midnight Cry Messenger, which is mailed out free and postage paid to all who request it. Our mailing address is Midnight Cry Ministries, Post Office Box 685, Southern Pines, North Carolina 28388. Or you may choose to visit us on the World Wide Web at www.midnightcry.org.
And now, may God richly bless you until our next broadcast.